Podcasting 2.0 for July 21st, 2023, episode 142, Bottom Funnel. Oh boy. Hello everybody. Time once again for the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. That's right. The only boardroom that's open during the strike. We're here to bring you everything that's going on with podcastindex.org, with the podcast namespace, of course, everything we're talking about over at podcastindex.social. The future of podcasting is here. I'm Adam Curry in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and Alabama, the man who will grep your log anytime, day or night. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
I barely had time to put my vitamin D drops in my beef shake.
Things I never say.
I did, as a special gift to myself today, though.
Yes.
I dropped, as I was mixing up the grass-fed beef milkshake, I dropped in an ice cream sandwich in there.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I dropped a little bit of acid in there. That would have been really cool.
The show will get great in about 15 minutes.
Stay tuned. It's on the way.
Yes. You know, the ice cream sandwich is known for its vitamin and mineral content.
It was a little bit of a downer. We started today, and we always try to have a cool little pre-stream show where we're singing along with some classic hits. 100% retro, which is available in all modern podcast apps that understand the live concept.
100% retro.
And we found out Tony Bennett passed away today. It's just, I mean, he had a great life. 96 years old, but still, you know, I was like, I miss Tony. So I had to play little Tony, and then I got even more depressed. It was not a good thing.
When I came in and sat down, 10 minutes late, by the way, I came in and sat down, and when I jack in to the stream,
yes,
typically, you know, you got 100% retro, and it was Madonna auto-tune, whatever that stupid song is that she has, that, and I feel, or whatever.
Oh, da, 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 da. Yeah, I forget what it that was song
that, is. Whatever that dumb song. And so then, I'm like, okay, somebody, you were not here. I said, somebody tell Adam that I'm here, but I got to go, like, put my stuff down and everything. And I get back, and it's like, Tony. I'm like, whoa, this was a change. You're like, hey, Tony Bennett died. I'm
like, just
damn.
Heard about it. Like, oh, man. I was mentioning earlier during the stream, might as well say it now, that I saw him, I think, 3 years ago in Austin, maybe 4 years ago, at the Moody Theater. I'd seen him 8 years ago as well in Austin at a bigger theater. Did the same thing. But so he was 92, I guess. And like halfway or three quarters through the concert, he just puts his mic down and sings unamplified and fills the whole place. It was,
I bet it's like kind of a haunting thing.
You get goosebumps, just goosebumps, yeah. You know, goosebumps. I also saw him when he had his daughter on the road.
Ooh, I didn't know about this.
Yeah. His daughter was kind of, for support. I think he said, I just wanted her on. She can sing. She's a good singer. So I just wanted her on the road for support. I said I didn't want to be out on the road by myself my last years.
Mm-hmm. So totally, I don't blame him. Yeah.
Anyway.
Now, was he one of those guys that got into, like, became like a standard Las Vegas person that, like, lived there? And all that?
Well, I mean, he of course was there for many years on and off, but I mean, he was way above and beyond, you know, like a residency in Vegas. I mean, he could do anything he wanted at any point in time, anywhere in the world. And he was Frank Sinatra's favorite singer.
Good for him.
Yeah.
He had a good life.
He had a good life. No, just all these songs. The American Songbook is rolling through my head. Anyway, welcome, strikers. For those of you wondering, what am I going to do during the strike? Well, you came to the right place.
Welcome. Get a new podcast app. Newpodcastapps.com.
Well, you know, I'm just saying, there's all kinds of exceptions and waivers for this strike business. Like Apple got a waiver for one of their shows. There's all these like tricky deals you can do, and then the guild or the union, so SAG-AFTRA, and I guess the Writers Guild, will give you a waiver so you can continue production. It's like kind of scammy.
This is This is the Russia sanctions scam. Yeah, is what, you know, you get sanctions, point. But you have like 27 different loopholes that you can. Oh yeah, but you can't take oil. You know, you can't accept oil from Russia unless you're in one of these 57 special categories.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you can, and it's all fine.
Yeah, I'm just looking at what's going on and how far apart these people are, and what I think it's just called Hollywood, but it's not really fair because, you know, 99% of the people who work in the entertainment industry, television, radio, movies, support for all that are, you know, people you've never heard of probably, you know, right. Just, you know, actors who work for a living, you know, look at any scene on any television or movie. Television show or movies, there's about 50 people walking around that you don't think about, but they're there. They're, you know, they're on set. They're getting paid. Some of them do have speaking roles. It's all, I mean, I've done my fair share of little bit parts here and there, and you don't get paid much. You get paid scale, even though I was MTV guy. Here's scale. Shut up.
It's coming. I mean, it's coming for everybody. Everybody in anything related to media, because this, like, let's see, New York Times had an article today. I actually printed it out. Google tests AI tool that is able to write news articles. Here's this line, and it says, news organizations around the world are grappling with whether to use artificial intelligence tools in their newsrooms. Many, including The Times, NPR, and Insider, have notified employees that they intend to explore potential uses of AI to see how it might be responsibly applied to the high-stakes realm of news where seconds count and accuracy is paramount.
You see, I don't think AI is so much the problem. I really don't. I don't think Hollywood believes that, you know, great scripts are going to get turned out by AI. The problem is, it's no longer the business that these actors and writers thought they were in, you know, and it was all great when it was like, hey, you know, we're changing the model. We don't have residuals because it's all going to be on our streaming app. So we're going to pay you more upfront. Because then you won't get residuals. And like, okay. And I was like, hey, that's groovy. And look at all this work I got. And then interest rates went through the roof and the free money train stopped. And it's like, no, sorry. You know, and we're only doing 6 episodes per season. So sorry, you know, wait 6 months without work. And what they, are your headphones loud or is that me? I hear myself coming back from time to time.
They're probably pretty loud. Yeah. Okay. I've got them jacked.
just
do I need
sure.
to turn you down?
No, do whatever. It's fine.
I like you loud in my head. That way it feels like you're right there.
Do what I say, Dan Jones.
No.
I am your father.
Get thee behind me, Satan.
The problem is these guys don't realize that they're no longer dealing with Hollywood. They're dealing with Silicon Valley. And we know the Silicon Valley model. Give me all your creativity. Here's nothing.
That's right.
That's what they do. That's a big reason why podcasting got into so much trouble. By the way, I heard something kind of encouraging on Pod News Weekly Review. There's these two young women.
That interview.
Yeah.
Seriously, it just made me sad.
Well,
it made me depressed.
Really, because I kind of got happy about it. Interesting. Georgina Holt and Christiana Benton from the Telling Agency, which I think is not a great name personally.
No, it's not great.
Because I couldn't hear it. It was hard. What's the name of it? Telling? Like Belling? Selling? I couldn't quite get it. The reason why I got a little enthusiastic is because they're going back to the original model that I started with at Podshow. And that model was the idea that you could move away from downloads and listener metrics and go to what they're calling a performance-based advertising, also known as... what is it? Direct
codes.
No. What? Yeah, exactly. What do you call? What did you call it?
Coupon codes.
Coupon codes. Now, what happened with that is very quickly we realized that the way to success with the coupon codes was, you know, to SEO the crap out of the coupon codes. Who cares what's in the podcast as long as someone used the codes? And so then before you know it, you know, there's all these companies that are being hired and they're, you know, they're making sure that people see these coupon codes, and there's an arbitrage between the coupon code, you know, buying traffic for the coupon codes and then what we could get from the advertiser. So it was a scam and I hated it.
Yeah.
However, they said something kind of interesting. So the idea is, You want someone to buy something. That's really the metric that the advertiser uses. Either you're going to have someone sign up for something, register for something, or buy something. Those are kind of the actions. So you're going to get compensated based upon how many people can perform an action. And they were, of course, talking about attribution and pixels and all this creepy tracking crap.
And bottom funnels and whatever the hell that means.
Bottom funnel is a great show title.
I don't know what it means.
I think it's a porn category on Pornhub.
At one point, I wish I had clipped it.
The bottom funnel.
I've given myself a moratorium on Pod News Weekly Review clips because mm-hmm. there's just so many good things in there that I just have to stop. So it's a challenge to not clip that show every week. So
understood.
I there was this one section in that interview where I think it's Christiana. She goes on a string of digital advertising jargon that was one for the record books. I mean, it was like
there was a lot of that in there. With the accent, made it even funnier.
No, I was like, I said it was like 7 or 8 seconds of words that I had no idea what any of it meant. I'm like, oh right, my god, right. what is this?
Right. Well, then I had a thought because. And then also, and these things never come accidentally because who was our guy over there on podcastindex.social who's doing the stats? He's extrapolating our stats and creating new stats from the stats.
Ron Plouf?
Yeah, Plouf.
Ron Plouf?
That's Obama's guy. Ron Plouf. No. Let me see. It's, hold on a second. Who is it? Yeah, come on. It is Ron Plouf.
That's what I'm saying. You're thinking of David Plouf.
David Plouf. Yes. David Plouf. Yes. Another name.
I don't know. There may be a relation. I don't know.
Well, here's another namespace milestone this week. Feeds with chapters crossed 20,000 on Wednesday. And congratulations. This is quite good. You know, there's 20,000 podcast feeds that are actively using chapters. That's not bad.
That number is actually way more impressive than it sounds because of... we know that the number of active shows is way, way lower than 4 million. You know, the 4 million.
It's more like 400,000.
Yeah, right. So that's actually that's a pretty decent chunk.
So then I was thinking, here's what. So it's like the problem with attribution and all this crap is all the tracking and the creepy stuff, and ultimately it's not. It's just not really a great way. And yeah, and I was like, but wait a minute, we have people in the app. You know, the call to action should be, hey, buy this product, subscribe for this service, sign up to this newsletter, whatever the call to action is, just look at your app right there in the chapter, click the link. We have the mechanism for this. We have the call to action mechanism, which does not require you to be tracked so we know that you heard about it on this show. No, you can literally track it from a chapter link that'll take you right to whatever the action is.
Well, see, that's what that app Vizzy was trying to do.
Ad Vizzy?
You remember when we had them on the show? The guy from Australia?
Yeah, what happened to them?
I don't know. I mean, they were rolling for a while, and then they just haven't seen or heard from them in a while. So I don't know. I don't know if they didn't make it or what. I'm not sure.
But the idea is good. Yeah, the idea is good. And you know, now we have some traction with this stuff. And so it's really to me, it's like a hybrid value for value in a way where you say, hey, look, we're sponsored by you know, this advertiser because it all requires what we would call a host read. But it's not really. It's more integrated into the... into the content, the product is kind of integrated into what the show is. You can say, mm-hmm. hey, you know, the way to support this show is to get a modern podcast app. And then whenever you hear something you like, you know, right there, click on the image and it'll take you to the offer.
That's the only way. Yeah, I'm gonna get back on my
soapbox. Which, by the way, I think would be very, very valuable as an audience. That if you can get your audience to do that, and it's not a big ask. It really isn't. I mean, whether you're asking people to, a bigger ask is to ask to, you know, to boost with Satoshis. That's a big ask. Now we have something that there's more chapter based feeds by, well, what is it, by about 6,000. That we have 14,000 value for value feeds, but all different audiences. It's not a big ask to say, you know, get a new app when you're listening to the show, or listen to the show on this app. And then if you hear something you like, or hey, you know, sign up for that because it supports everything, click on it. You know, and the attribution is built right into the system because you can hard code your special link in there.
Well, see, that's the only way forward.
I think it really is. Yeah.
Long term, that's the only way forward for attribution, because you can't the tracking pixel and all this.
Yeah, that's, I keep saying this that.
Over
I
and over.
That.
It's going away.
Yeah, it's not going to work anymore. It's not going to work.
It's not going to work. Apple will flip the switch. They are going to do it, and it is going. All this stuff is going to break.
Yeah.
The world is broken.
Words so true, my friend. We live in a broken world.
You know, I brought a PowerPoint.
You brought a PowerPoint? Oh my goodness.
Does
anyone have the Beamer hooked up? Who's got the Beamer? Who has the remote for the Beamer? Do you have a cord? What kind of cord do you have?
You have DisplayPort to HDMI adapters?
No, we need adapters.
can somebody drop the screen in the conference room? I need a projector.
But how many times we've been through that crap, huh, Dave? You should probably still go through it on a weekly basis.
Oh, yeah, 3 times a week at least. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. This is what gets me. Everything is a perfect transition, which is another way of saying the world is broken. Because
okay, next slide. Next slide.
This sounds like what are those things? The little carousel.
The slide projector. That's what it is.
Next slide.
Do you know
how many of those I sat through with my grandmother? Show me. Her slides from my uncle to Israel.
Uncle Stanley did that at NARFAB. And then go back, and you have that double click. You know, like
yeah.
There it is. There's your double click back.
Like, oh, Grandma, the Jordan River. Yes, I've seen it 800 times.
Invariably, like, someone would knock over the next carousel and everything would be out of order. And then Uncle Stanley would be really mad. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't touch him with your fingers.
So I want to jump off track here and just talk about general... the enshittification of the entire universe.
The enshittification of the entire universe. Why? Yes.
The cracks are starting to form everywhere you look. I mean, it's not just financial. It's social. It's political. It's everywhere you look. There's you can see the cracks. This week was a difficult week for me, not psychologically. I fought almost a depression this week.
Oh goodness!
Because of it's primarily to do with a thing that happened at my day job that I was fighting against that I obviously can't go into detail about, but I can give you the broad strokes. So we have an enterprise software vendor. I will just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big one.
Enough about Microsoft.
It is not Microsoft. No.
Oh.
But that's the point, is it could be any of them. This applies to all of them. So we've got this enterprise software vendor that we have a lot of client data in. And we come in Monday into the office and go to log in as the administrative user for this platform. And
user unknown.
That is exactly what it said.
Mm-hmm.
This it said user does not exist.
Oh man!
And I was like, excuse me? This is literally the account that has
everything, all the power.
This is God mode account. There's only one of them, because you can only have one of them.
Right.
And so I was like, yeah, this is a problem. So my coworker calls, and he's told, that account got disabled by our security and compliance team because they got flagged for, you know, something suspicious. And so they said, everything's okay. All you gotta do is
all your data is safe.
Yes. No, they didn't say that. You know, we had to figure that part out. Yeah. Yeah. They said, everything's all right, but all you gotta do, we just need you to submit your, submit photo ID proof. You
know, what are they? Twitter? Is Twitter your vendor? What is it? Facebook?
We need to verify that you're still in control of this account. Okay, fine. Submitted that information, uploaded it through a link we were given.
Now, yours or your colleagues?
My colleague.
No, good work.
Three days
your
later.
Your subordinate, I should point out. Not just your colleague. The guy who works for you. Hey, use your ID.
I say colleague because I don't want it to sound like I'm being a douche.
Yeah.
3 days later, no word, no feed, no response. So
three hours, I would be pissed off.
Now I have to get involved. So we were told 2 to 3 days turnaround time. So ridiculous. Now I have to get involved.
Right.
I call in. I'm told a different thing. Uh-oh. I'm told, the security team disabled this account and you're going to have to create a new admin account. And in order to do that, you're going to have to submit documentation for a representative of the company, and it's going to have to be signed by the managing shareholder.
Oh, goodness.
And you're going to need to submit articles of organization or shareholder's agreement.
It was stock like certificates.
Yes. So I went through all that. I'm going to try to not make this story long because I'm trying to get to a bigger point.
I'm loving it.
Went through all that. A day later, I got a rejection notice. Said, you did not submit your structure of your organization is...
your TPS reports. Your TPS reports were not in order.
Is such that you need signed documentation from all of the shareholders. Oh
my, and there's probably 30 partners?
It's not a small number. And so I spent the entire day getting photo IDs, permission letters, all this stuff. Submitted it again on Friday. Got another rejection over the weekend saying, you did not submit any information. So I'm going to stop right there. The reason that I was late to the show today, this eventually got resolved today, and it started last Monday.
Oh, man.
We got stuck in a loop where nobody could verify, we got stuck in an automation loop, a bureaucratic automation loop, which is what I mean by the enshittification of everything. Enterprise software is broken. So let me try to give this enshittification is the way I'm talking about it. It's like, it's the phenomenon of an emerging awareness that the techniques and rules based processes we've all become like bound to, they don't actually serve a purpose. They're not useful. Their usefulness, they don't actually serve a purpose for which their usefulness outweighs the effort used to adhere to them. Does that make sense?
No. Say that last bit one more time.
There's this emerging awareness that the rules and the techniques that we are bound to in all of these areas of life don't actually serve a purpose for which their usefulness outweighs the effort we have to put out to adhere to them.
Oh, no, of course not.
So, like, when technology produces velocity, okay, I'm going to use that term. When technology produces a sort of like a velocity or a momentum, there's this sense of progress and economic, physical progress, academic, even just like a general excitement over invention and like new things. You know, you get to play with new things, you get to experience new things. G.K. Chesterton said the chief pleasure. Well, what did he say? He said the chief pleasure is surprise. Of all the pleasures of humanity, the chief one is surprise. That's progress and technological velocity takes advantage of that experiential thing within humanity. Because of that, we ignore these sort of second order effects. We ignore the things that are happening as a result of the technological velocity and momentum. So we're all just waiting for the next thing to happen. But now there's not a next thing. There is no next thing anymore. technology always resolves itself down at its end. Technology always resolves itself down to technique. And once that technological velocity, I'm using the term technological velocity because I think some people say like pace of innovation, and I don't like that. I don't think that that's really what I mean. Once that technological velocity slows, those second order effects that we were a little bit aware of, but maybe they were covered up by the excitement and the surprise of the new.
Yeah.
Those things become the primary functions. They become not like they're no longer freedom. They're constraints.
Oh, absolutely. As Prof G would say, 100%.
Prof G. Well, AI is. Well, before I go to that part, I've got a clip.
Yep.
It's from we've been watching this show. I think it's on what used to be HBO Max. I think it's called Max now. So we've been watching this show. It's called For the Love of Kitchens. Don't laugh at me.
I love it. It sounds great. I think I'm going to have to watch this show, For the Love of Kitchens. I like it.
It's the Deval. It's this company called Deval. They're out of the UK. They make these like $100,000 kitchens. So we kind of got into this show, but there's this one. They've got a bunch of craftsmen that work for this company, and they're on this little preserve, and it's a really nice atmosphere. And there's this one guy that he was in IT, and then he became a blacksmith working for this Deval outfit. And he just gives a little bit of his thoughts on it.
Draw out the point. Then, once done that, bend over the end, because no one likes a sharp hook, so it doesn't damage whatever you put on. Then, using my jig, I'll create the curve of the hook. All I've got left to do now is get it all warm again. Take it out, let it cool a bit, and then we'll wax it. Previously, I've had 20 plus years in the IT industry, and a few years ago, I decided I wanted something outside of IT. I come to work, and I've got big boys' toys. I can create stuff, and it's a freedom that I never thought I'd get. I'm loving this. This is the rail that Joe will be getting. When you hold something, and you know someone's spent time creating it, and a bit of love put into it, I think that comes through to the customer.
What's the name of this show?
It's called For the Love of Kitchens. And so here's a guy, IT guy for 20 years. he finally got out of the IT game. And I would say the technology game in general, or the information technology game, and got, and now he's a craftsman. He's a tradesman. He makes things with his hands, and he's super excited about it. And he feels he talks about the freedom. And I think the freedom that he's talking about is this thing. It's the freedom from these second order effects that build up as we progress technologically. And this brings me to AI. That's what AI, it hit me this week. AI is like the subconscious attempt of the technological society to solve this paradox. As you increase technology, you also increase these constraints, these second order effects. You start to feel captivated. You start to feel captive to them. You could say, like, you know, like when we go to bed at night, we don't feel as happy as we did in like 1990. And it's not because, you know, it's not because of, and it's because of a lot of these things. It's because we've technically progressed. But because of that, we have all these technical constraints on us now that we have to adhere to. It's not enough to just, you know, turn on the washing machine. Now we have, it's also connected to an app on our, you know, over Wi-Fi on our phone.
Hold on a second. Hello? Oh, it's Professor Ted from the Gray for you, Ted Kaczynski?
still a consultant, yes. The technological velocity has slowed. We're unhappy with the constraints that it left us with. And then comes AI. And AI it promises to ease the burden of those constraints. So AI is going to take, so you take this situation that I was in this week, you know, and now we're AI has to emerge in order to be, quote, more intelligent about security, about analyzing the security data to make sure that things that happen, like happened to me, won't happen again. Or to use a personal example from podcasting, and this kind of ultimately comes around, I'm gonna ding ourselves for this, which is not our fault, but it's just how it goes. With all the new features within podcasting 2.0 and podcast namespace, Buzzsprout now has to create AI in order to make chapters and things like this easier, because now in order to produce a podcast, there's more stuff to do. And so this AI is like, AI is this empty promise because it can't work. It's not going to function the way that it can't. It's claiming to solve a problem that it can't solve.
Right.
And it all goes back to this, we were promised flying cars and we got 140 characters, that concept.
Mm-hmm.
It's worse than that, because 140 characters brought with it social media, apps, PR, SEO, mobile device management, security vulnerabilities, tech support, censorship, on and on and on.
Dave, you're really bumming me out, dude.
So what I'm saying is AI is not the beginning of anything. It's the end.
It's actually the end of memory, the way I see it. We've become so lazy.
It's the end of innovation. It's not the beginning of any new phase of innovation. It's the end. It's not in the AI is not innovation. It's supplication.
Woo. Step back.
Like it is. It's begging you not to give up and exit the system.
Yeah. Yes, 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 yes. You know, it's interesting that when I was 16, 15, maybe even 14, I lived in a small village south of Amsterdam, and I did two summers of Saturday work and sometimes Thursday or Friday work at a blacksmith.
Oh, really?
I actually learned how to shoe a horse. And by the way, that smell, when you put that horseshoe onto the horse's hoof, you'll never forget that smell. But it was burn. one of the grit and the Smith core the Smith. Core. He was a Dutch guy, of course. He was this really, like, you know, tall, lanky, strong dude, and just watching him bang those because you get the standard horseshoe from the horseshoe factory, that you got to make it fit for the horse. It was one of the most exciting times in my life, and I remember it so I can still smell that burning hoof. It was very fulfilling versus the electronics store where I worked later, where I sold resistors and transistors and capacitors and solder and stuff like that. Mm. Although the smell of solder, not bad either.
Not a bad thing.
The smell of solder. Even that. Do kids even know how to solder anymore?
No. The easy problems are all, in technology, the easy problems are all solved. Mm. They were all solved a long time ago. You know, that's the thing. Now, this bothers me about Noster, because they seem to have this idea that there's some easy solution to things that are inherently impossibly difficult, like decentralization, and that they're kidding themselves. The easy stuff already has answers. It was already answered long ago.
That's interesting you say that, because I follow the Damus developer through the Noster to ActivityPub bridge. Uh-huh. So I follow him on podcast index.social, and I see him making stuff that is so centralized. It's not even decentralized. It's all centralized. Yeah, and you can see people replying, hey, you know, turn off the Damus relay. Yeah, no, Noster will collapse.
And the things that I see them saying are more like, we're about to make decentralized shopping a thing. You can't stop us. Yeah. I'm like, as if you figured out something brand new that nobody's ever seen before. Like, okay, so I got another clip. It reminded me of today. John Carmack's interview on the Lex Fridman show, and he made this statement, and it has stuck like a thorn in my brain ever since. And it has bothered me. And I think it was the impetus for all of the thinking that I have had to do about this topic this week. He's talking about artificial intelligence, specifically AGI, or, you know, general intelligence. And he's acting as if there are easy answers to this that we just have to wait around for.
The artificial general intelligence side of things, it seems to me like this is the highest leverage moment for potentially a single individual, potentially in the history of the world, where the things that we know about the brain, about what we can do with artificial intelligence, nobody can say absolutely on any of these things, but I am not a madman for saying that it is likely that the code for artificial general intelligence is going to be tens of thousands of lines of code, not millions of lines of code. This is code that conceivably one individual could write, unlike writing a new web browser or operating system. And based on the progress that AI has, machine learning has made in the recent decade, it's likely that the important things that we don't know are relatively simple. There's probably a handful of things, and my bet is that I think there's less than 6 key insights that need to be made. Each one of them can probably be written on the back of an envelope. We don't know what they are, but when they're put together in concert with GPUs at scale and the data that we all have access to, that we can make something that behaves like a human being or like a living creature, and that can then be educated in whatever ways that we need to get to the point where we can have universal remote workers, where anything that somebody does mediated by a computer and doesn't require physical interaction, that an AGI will be able to do. We can already simulate the equivalent of the Zoom meetings with avatars and synthetic deep fakes and whatnot. We can definitely do that. We have super superhuman capabilities on any narrow thing that we can formalize and make a loss function for. But there's things we don't know how to do now. But I don't think they are unapproachably hard. Now, that's incredibly hubristic to say that it's like, but I think that what I said a couple years ago is a 50% chance that somewhere there will be signs of life of AGI in 2030. And I've probably increased that slightly. I may be at 55, 60% now, because I do think there's a little sense of acceleration there.
He's kidding himself. He's completely delusional. There's... Let me give a simple example.
Can I give you my theory about all of this before you give us your example?
Yeah, sure.
My theory is ultimately everybody wants a robot for porn. That's all that it is. That's all that we're. It's like I want a robot for porn. That's what it is. I don't see and it's men and women alike. We don't really want anything else.
It all comes back to the AI question. The AI question being the AI being the end, not the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That fits with what you're talking. I don't know how long ago this was. It's got to be 15 years ago at least. No, it's more than that. So I was really involved with this Windows assembly language community called MASM32. So we. It was the first open source software community I was a part of. And there was a great developer. He's still around somewhere called his handle was Mad Wizard. And, he was just top notch and he wrote all kinds of killer assembly software for Windows. He went on to develop some USB drivers for like custom, where you could do custom modules and that kind of thing, which was cool. But he wrote this thing one time. It was a very simple tool that would just enumerate all of the network interface cards in your Windows machine and give you information about it, give you the MAC address. Remember, this is 2002 or 2003,
right,
probably.
Right. Now we just Windows have a ifconfig dash A.
Yeah. Windows XP era. Okay. And so he writes this tool and I'm looking through the source and it doesn't work right. There's this one class of network interface cards that it can't find. It was like a TUN adapter or something like that. And so no matter what you did, you wouldn't show it. And so I'm looking through there and I found some obscure documentation on Microsoft's Win32 API that showed that this specific type of network interface card, you had a constant in the Win32 API that he was not accounting for. So what he had done is he had made this little macro, assembly language macro that was constructing the constants that he was going to use for lookups, building a lookup table essentially in memory based on a formula. It was like adding 100 each time or something to this bit mask. And so he was building this thing in memory with this macro when he first launched. And the interesting thing is all of the constants were just easily, he could just do this, it would go right through.
Right.
They all fit the same mathematical algorithm. This one constant did not. So in order to support this type of network interface card within the Win32 API, he had to get rid of this elegant three-line macro and build in just a static table of constants. Now he has just had to make his code ugly and less modular to support this other thing. And this is what I'm talking about. We can't stop this process from happening. There's no way in which John Carmack is, that's, I said, he's deluding himself. There is no easy answers anymore. He's still operating under this idea that there's this, that it's possible to have elegant, easy, simple solutions to difficult problems. And that is, that is not accurate.
I'm going to say I would actually posit, based upon what you're saying and my own thinking, my own independent thinking, is AI, first of all, it's a buzzword. It's the new blockchain, whatever. It's only going to create more employment opportunities, not less, more. There'll be many more people necessary to support this stuff for the reason you just laid out.
Well, you see, I'm more pessimistic.
Okay, get even more bummery on me?
I'm more pessimistic. Because so much stuff happened this week that just sort of like all played in together. Look, Marco at Linode. You know, Marco posted publicly that Linode is now that they're owned by Akamai. For just randomly told him that they're going to down his server for a migration, like in the middle of the day he's going to have 8 hours of downtime.
Marco from Overcast. Oh, so they just sent him a note, little ping, little mass email, like, hey, screw your business.
Pretty much. Yeah, exactly. And wow. The way I see this resolving is the exodus. People are going to start on a technological level, people are going to start checking out. I've already seen it happening. I've already seen people that are they're detaching from social media. They're tired of it. They can't, they're not able to process all this stuff anymore.
I agree. I see this everywhere. We have long reached peak social media, particularly with the advent of Threads. You have all these choices. What am I on? What's authoritative? Twitter has become, you know, Tina took a 1 month sabbatical from all social media, which I thought was pretty good. It was interesting to see what she was doing instead. And now she's back on Twitter. And in that 1 month, she says, well, I don't have a blue check. I don't really want to spend any money on this. And, you know, now half the people I see, they're subscription only. I can't scroll further back in someone's timeline because you need to be blue checked for that. And she just within like a couple of weeks, I'm bored. It's stupid. All I see is some outrage. I'm not even interested anymore. I think it's peaked and she's my canary.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing more of it. I'm seeing more people just checking out. And well, I have my own reasons to think that people are turning to other things, many other things outside of technology together.
And I think we need to preserve podcasting. This brings it all back to podcasting.
Yes. Thank you.
Because I think we need to preserve
1 hour and we're back to podcasting.
Permit me to read this passage.
This is a point of personal privilege, permission granted, of course.
This is from the Technological Society by Jacques Ellul. This explains another characteristic of the books written after the century of humanism, their lack of convenience. We find few tables of contents, no references, no division into sections, no indices, no chronology, sometimes not even pagination. The apparatus standard for scientific works today is not found even rudimentarily in the most perfect works of the period, and its absence is characteristic of the absence of intellectual technique. The books of the time were not written to be used along with hundreds of others to locate a piece of information accurately and quickly, or to validate or invalidate an experiment, or to furnish a formula. They were not written to be consulted. They were written to be read patiently in their entirety.
Amen.
And to be meditated upon. Again, this goes back to the ideal of universality. The presentation of a book as an author's entire self is a personal expression of his very being, supposes that the reader sought in it not the solution of a given difficulty or the answer to a given problem, but rather to make personal contact with the author. It was more a question of personal exchange than of taking an objective position.
Wow. Totally applicable to podcasting.
That's what podcasting is.
It's an island. This is what we discussed on the previous show. And by the way, I got a lot of beautiful emails and notes from people saying, yes, this is what I got into podcasting for. There's one guy who does a half hour podcast a week with his son, who's across the country at college. And he says, mm-hmm. it's connected me to my son. I don't care if there's no one listening. It's connecting us, and people are able to listen in, and then it inspires them to connect with their children. The connection between audience and, I'll say, content creator, but that's not even really applicable. That's even that by itself has always been a noun that bothers me. That connection has been so lost in the podcast industrial complex of CPMs and pixels and all that stuff. It's completely gone away from what it originally was. Voices.
Yeah.
Just
that's
voices.
That's why that interview made me sad, is because I was like, no, see, this is all technology being applied to a medium that's, this medium is where books were in the 16th century. It needs to stay there,
mm-hmm.
because otherwise we create a technological framework around podcasting that's going to kill it. I think you talk about tracking pixels and all this stuff. I mean, like it's ultimately going to fail for reasons beyond their control, it damages the medium in the process.
Yes. I'm not so bearish on chapters. I think chapters, you know, there's a very valid connective reason for them outside of, I'm bored, I want to skip ahead. And I've always been looking for that. I personally like the different art pieces of art, which is what Dreb Scott does for us as much as he humanly can, which gives me joy. You know, I don't look at the chapters to skip ahead. Well, this is boring. Where's my next thing? No, I look at the chapters. In fact, I wish I didn't help you skip ahead. I look at the chapters just for the joy of the art, or, you know, or something else that has been added to it. That's how I've always viewed them. Yeah, that's how I've always viewed them. Way, way different from anything that is, just different.
Yeah. I love chapters, and I think so there's a couple things there. I think things like that, they have to exist. Like there's, you see a thing, and this is another aspect of this, is this, it becomes self-fulfilling. So like the chapters as a technology there's a sense in which it must exist. And so we have to create it. I mean, no, we didn't create it. Obviously. I'm just saying like there, we have to take it to its fullest extent, and I'm totally cool with that. And I love love chapters. I'm trying to be honest in saying that those criticisms that apply to technology and technological velocity in general also apply. We don't get a free pass.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
Because I see occasionally I'll have an episode that has chapters in it, and the chapters are all messed up. And I get frustrated.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, these aren't the timestamps aren't right.
You should try working with a split kit.
I actually did. I started messing around with Sovereign Feeds this week.
Sovereign Feeds. So this is a good point, because I'm so reliant upon Stephen B's work. And you know, cause he changes stuff, you know, he's always upgrading, doing things, and he does it pretty much in production. And you know, of the 100 times I use it, you know, there's one time, it's one time that it just breaks or something happens, and, you know, and I'm able to get a hold of him, and then we've never had a very disastrous thing. But at that moment, my heart sinks, everything like, oh no. And you know, and like even on the last, you know, the previous, cause I was still getting used to SplitKit, you know, and it was quite the transition from having in my head how everything works with value time splits and in Sovereign Feeds. And then I was put into SplitKit, and I couldn't quite wrap my head around how it was working with live versus what you then import for the show. And while I was producing last week's episode, after we're done, you know, I'd put the new intro on, and I mean, I'm trying to cue everything up, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm not going to get this done. I don't understand it. And I had to, you know, just stop for a second, like, okay, you know, because I have to line up the in SplitKit, have to put the right time code in. This is all this complexity that came in, which is actually not that complex I just couldn't wrap my head around it. And it gave me a sinking feeling. Like, I can't publish this show until I figured this out.
I think we call it scissors as a emotional defense mechanism. Cause we're kind of scared of all this stuff too. And like, it's that paradox within all of us. If you've been in IT long enough, you sent me that clip of Leo this week, and I felt this was sort of tangential to that. It was sort of part of the same thing. Mm-hmm. If you've been in the information technology world in any capacity for long enough, you eventually reach this paradox where there's something in you that loves the technology and loves the problem solving of it and the innovation and the creation of the thing. Mm-hmm. But you're also so pessimistic and so aggravated at it all the time. It's like these two things that just are like inextricably linked. You hate it and love it at exactly the same time. And it's like, it feels like you rip your brain apart.
I hear you. Well, there is something. So I'm extremely optimistic, and I know you're not pessimistic, but when it comes to podcasting, and I've been dreaming about this, not just like, you know, for 19 years, hoping we could make this happen somehow, but I'm actually having dreams about the new category of podcasts that are going to come on the scene. And that is podcasts with music. And music is so powerful, and there is so much creativity being put into music, not in the mainstream, because the mainstream is very formulaic for a whole bunch of reasons. It's truly one of those systems. And it's broken. It doesn't work. It doesn't even work for your typical mainstream artists. They're not making money on music. They're not getting value returned. You know, it's just a rat race you've got to be in. You've got to turn around in that tub. Otherwise, you can't even do anything. It is. It's like a turd in a piss pot. Well, that was a translation of a Dutchism. The Dutchism is Androlen in Pisspot, which means it's just swirling around like a turd in a piss pot. I know.
I love that the Dutch word sound is just the word piss pot.
The piss pot. So next week, you're on vacation, and yet you're taking the day off.
Yep.
And so that means there will be no board meeting. However, that will be the launch of Boostagram Ball. Boostagram Ball I'm going to launch it in this time slot.
Nice.
And okay. I'm going to do it live.
Wait, are you going to do a feed drop?
A feed drop? What's a feed drop?
Where you put your episode in somebody else's feed?
No.
Boostagram ball in the podcasting 2.0
feed? I hadn't even thought of that. That feels icky. Doesn't feel right. I would prefer, I mean, I have boostagramball.com. I haven't launched the website yet. I got work to do. Which by itself will be interesting. But I have in my head, I know what I'm going to do. And which means I'm going to freewheel it, because that's kind of the whole point of what I want to get back to is I'm playing music at that moment because of how I feel. I want to have the interaction of the chat room. So I will always record this before a live studio audience, even though most people, I'm probably not going to release until Saturday. I felt like Saturday would be an interesting day to release the music show.
Okay. So you're going to do it live on Friday at noon, and then you're going to actually put it in the feed on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, the feed drop will be the release of every episode. My plan is currently is to have it on Saturday. So if I record the show on Wednesday night whatever it is, that's what I'm going for. We'll have to kind of see
the live experience. Okay.
Yeah. The live experience will be kind of like a rave, you know. It's like, the live experience is happening. You get the flyer, you know, Yeah, right. Oh, it's happening. Okay.
The glow sticks.
But it won't be a set time. You have to hear about it through whatever channels. And I got even more enthusiastic when Sam from Wavelake sent us this note. You got the note too.
I did. It's great. Yep.
And he said, young kid trying to make it in music, came to Bitcoin Park with their parents last week, saw the Wavelake demo, decided to take a chance on value for value, love to see it, thought you might so too. The outside world is starting to see what's going on here. And I thought, wow, how cool is that? I mean, this is, and she, there's two tracks, one which is very sweet. You know, she's young, but a very sweet kind of girly, you know, slow track. And the other one is a very kind of poppy track. So, of course, it being Friday Podcasting 2.0, I want to play the poppy track, obviously. Yeah, sure. But I have other things. Sir TJ the Wrathful, who's been making all these cool mixes for No Agenda and Curry and the Keeper. And he released his music, which is the Dorfels. And I'm going to play that on next week's show on the first Boostergram ball. I mean,
I hadn't heard that yet.
Oh, it's good. It's good. I don't want to play that on today's show. I want to play, this young woman who just said, you know, hey, I'm going to give it a shot. And the reason why is A, because I like the song. B, and there's not a lot of music I really don't like. I mean, I have an eclectic taste, but I'm open to everything. And it turns out that most people are, you know, don't say, oh, it's horrible, I'm going to turn it off. There's not much of that. It's not a lot. But I also want her to have a good experience. Because literally what Sam is saying is she decided to take a chance on value for value. So why don't we show her that her chance pays off?
Love it.
Her taking a chance. So if you're listening live, you know you've got to use CurioCaster. I know that works for sure in the live experience. Otherwise, we now have, we've got Fountain, we've got Podverse, we've got PodFriend, we've got CurioCaster. You can do it directly from from SplitKit, in fact. After the fact, go back and listen to it and boost her because I really want her to have a good experience and to give you guys something special. I'm hoping that this podcast Boostergram ball will be like almost like every other project I do, where people start to send in their own jingles, their own sound imaging, their own cool stuff, so that we are making this together. I did put something together myself. Had a little bit of fun in the studio.
Oh, really?
Kind of like a show opener, you know. Just threw some stuff together. And hold on, I'll turn on her block right now, so everyone can get ready for the block. And we'll take this little break while we play this song with my opener to start it off. B-O-O-S-T. Boostergram. Boosting is loving.
Boost.
That's how I want to start a show. So she dropped by the Bitcoin Park, took a chance on value for value. Let's let her see what a good choice that was.
I'm not as dense as you think I am. I know that you didn't know that I knew about your little plan. But you had to go and tell everyone about my intention that you hadn't won. But I bet you're wondering why, cute little knife, doesn't hurt my back like you thought it would. Well, thankfully, you did the hard part for me, and I just think it's good. You put the cherry on top for the mess you made, but I'll leave it out for wrong. Won't say a lot, won't give you the reaction that you want. So you cherry on top. Corner of the room, 'cause I know that you aren't used to having it all given back to you. And though it might be tempting to see if it's ratting and cry like a little boy, you might deserve it, but it don't serve a purpose. And though I'm 5'2", I'm still the bigger person. Cheer yourself for the mess you made, but I'll leave it out to rot. Well, honey, I hope you know that I wish you well. Or maybe I don't, but you know that I never tell. Cherry on top for the mess you made, but I'll leave it. rot. Well, say a lot won't give you the reaction that you want. You put the serious up with the mess you made, but I'll leave it out to rot. Well, say a lot won't give you the reaction that you want. Get a cherry on top.
Ainsley Costello, the cherry on top, podcasting 2.0.
What a song. Man, that's a rad song. I love it.
It's like a little Tay-Tay, you know, a little more rocking than Taylor Swift, you know?
Yeah.
I like
that. That's a great tune, man.
Yeah.
It's cool. Is she local to Nashville, I guess?
I think so. I don't know. And this is the one thing I'd love from Wavelake is I'd love a little more info on each artist, you know, or link to her. But maybe there is. I haven't just really looked for it. But I'll need more info. And it's like, I know what's going to happen. People are going to be sending me music from all over the world. I know how this goes. I'm so excited. What do you think of my opener, by the way?
Oh, that was great. That was really good. Yeah. I like it. So you did all that yourself? Like you put it all together?
Oh, yeah.
Sweet. Did you have to record anything new or did you just use old clips?
Yeah, no, I did the, in there you hear a boostagram ball. I did that. Literally like that.
Nice. Well, that tune has a real early Paramore feel.
Ooh,
to it.
Oh yeah!
Before they sucked.
Thought about it. Before they sucked.
Yeah,
before they sucked.
Yeah, no, you did a great job on the opener. That's good.
Thank you. Now there's one other. And I have all kinds of things already, like tracks and sats. You know, all kinds of cool stuff I can say. Now I didn't mention this on the last show, but I have decided, and this will make it even more fun. You know, this in a way plays into what you were saying, but I really want to try this. I want to release this on IPFS podcasting.
Okay. I'm trying to put, by the way, I'm working in the background to try to put together some guests that we can talk about IPFS podcasting. And so we can have like a round table on it, you know?
Oh, good.
And I've got the weak link, no offense, Cameron, but the weak link is Cameron because he lives in the middle of the woods.
Oh yeah,
is he like lives in the forest,
like Ted. Like yeah. I thought so.
Yeah, he lives in a lean-to in the middle of the forest
shanty.
And
so
and he just told me when I contacted him, he's like, dude, my internet's so bad. I'm not sure. He's like, but I'm gonna have a gigabit internet soon.
But I can bring him in on the phone. I can do a phone link.
Oh, you can because you got the
roadcaster. Yeah, I can just bring him in on the phone link. No problem. That'll work.
Okay.
Let's do that.
All right. Well, yeah. I'll do it.
I could probably even filter it to make it sound pretty reasonable if he's on a modern phone. But a flip phone will work. I don't care. Well, whatever it is.
Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, we'll do that. All
right. So IPFS IPFS podcasting, IPFSpodcasting.net. You know, in essence, all I do is I upload my track. Well, I have to create a feed, which I'll do with Sovereign Feeds. I still have to kind of put the whole process together in my head. But the bottom line is that it will work in all podcast apps. Then he set it up now that if you pin a feed and host the, pin the assets of that feed, then which I'm not saying this right, but if I add a split to IPFS podcasting into my value block, then whenever a request comes into IPFSpodcasting.net, I think it's whoever at that point served the file, maybe, I'm not sure, but anyway, it gets split up. So then that goes to the people who are hosting the track itself.
Okay.
So, there's
a lot more, there's a lot more love and interest for IPFS within people in podcasting than I realized. And the more people I talk to, the more people are like, have an interest in trying to get it to be functional.
Yes.
Jason over at Podcast Guru, he's a big IPFS guy.
So I want to be the guinea pig. I want to be the canary. Yeah. I want to be the thing that it'll be scissors. You know, we'll be running with scissors as always. But I figured, well, why not?
I'm sure Sam over at PodFans, he'll do it.
Oh, by the way, PodFans. I forgot to mention PodFans. Every single piece that we do is implemented on PodFans. I am convinced Sam will want to be a part of this with the IPFS for sure. Part. Oh, for sure. So I'm super, super excited. I had dreams about this. Dreams. And there will be more shows. There's more shows coming with guys getting ready, and there's music being uploaded. Suzanne Santo is coming next week.
Who is that?
Suzanne Santo. She's an actress, kind of turned musician. She has a record deal, but she hates what it's become. She's a very beautiful kind of folksy singer who plays a badass Strat. I mean, I've heard her do solos. Oh, no. Unbelievable. Nice. And right now she's 6 months pregnant, and we went to see her do a gig. You know, and
she was wearing out the fretboard with a baby in the oven.
Yeah, baby in the oven, and she had her sneakers on underneath her hot black dress.
Nice.
And her husband Nick, he is the guy who created, produced, wrote True Detectives. You know, the was that the Netflix series that was a huge hit? The one that
True Detective?
True Detective, yeah, the one with Woody Harrelson. Okay. Guys.
Right. Okay.
So they moved to Austin. They escaped California. And so I've been talking to her about this, and she really wants to get involved. She wants to release some music, value for value. You know, so in that case, I mean, they're just coming to hang out, but I really want to give her a little walkthrough. I'm convinced that she will write some music that'll be specifically for value for value. Just, you know, just to get people going, you know, get some names in and show that, because, you know, she's like, I got a million streams. I got 80 bucks or something. So this is just, it's insulting. God. It's insulting. She says, you know, so she really has to do gigs to make any money on it. And she just likes doing it because she likes doing it, but she wants value. And it's not about how much money it is. It's about just a faceless, you know, dashboard from Spotify. You know, it's not the same thing as getting a Boostagram.
Well, this goes back to my depressing PowerPoint. We have to be we're here with a catcher's mitt. We're catching it. Everybody who exits the technological system, we're catching.
We're catching them right. Oh, we got you. We got you. Yeah, no worries. Yeah, we got you.
We just set them down gently on the bed of podcasting 2.0.
So when I hear this stuff, I just get so excited. I'm just like, oh, this is so cool. I like it. And going back to my opening statement, that the strike is really going to open up so many opportunities for people. For frustrate, you know, it's radio and television artists too. You know, it's not just, and it's podcasters. There's all kinds of people who are affected by this strike. And I think that, you know, late night television is over. They're done. It's, you know, that's been off air for 2 months. People have already changed their behaviors. They're looking at TikTok before they go to sleep for their little laugh, their little hit. I don't think that'll ever come back. It was already pretty dead. You know, the numbers just really aren't there. And I think people are very easy to switch, and they get used to stuff, and they hear something that is new and fresh, and they hear podcasts. Luckily, we have a much less crowded market right now. You know, there's not as much new stuff being shoved in your face because, you know, the podcast industrial complex is sadly not really working out too well. For them.
Right.
I'm not dancing on anybody's grave or anything, but you know, it's just really not working. It's funny. I got a pitch from Google Podcasts, which was a new pitch.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
You mean for what? For No Agenda or?
It was not even clear for what show. It's probably from No Agenda, and I can share some of this because I wound up signing an NDA just to find, I wanted to go one step further to find out what it was.
Oh, you
what they're really
NDA.
Doing?
Well, okay.
Well, the NDA was really like the most vanilla. So it's not from YouTube themselves, but it's from a guy. I won't name his. We'll just call him Pete, who was a
Pete from YouTube.
Yes, Pete from YouTube in London. And I believe because he found my name and email address in a EC2, which is, you know, I think was Shoreditch where I had an office. So he somehow thinks I'm a UK based podcaster. God forbid, oh. You know, he research me, right? That would be stupid. So he's a strategic partner manager, YouTube, Google LLC, London, UK. And he sent this through different avenues, including LinkedIn. Cool. And so, you know, it's hello. That's it. Hope this.
Hello.
And at first I'm like, this is bull crap, but you know, it's poorly written. It's really, it's so poor what Google is doing. Cause this is not really a person who works directly from YouTube, but they have consultants or strategic partner manager or whatever that means. So Pete says, hello, hope this email finds you well. My name is Pete, but I work on a team at YouTube that helps podcasters launch and grow on the platform. I'm reaching out to you as I'd love to share the details of a grant we'd like to offer you to help Ooh. Ramp you up on YouTube along with an access to our RSS. So right there, I'm like, an access to our RSS? I don't know what you're talking about.
What does that even mean?
To go through the details, I'll need to send you over an NDA that will, one, prove you're talking to Google, and two, engage each other to keep confidential the information you and I will be sharing. Would that work? If so, can you confirm the name of the signatory and email address for the NDA? If there's any doubt on my identity, you can check my LinkedIn profile, see that my email address domain is google.com, which is not falsifiable. Looking forward to hearing back from you. Thanks. Best regards, Pete.
Wow. That was a lot.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, I'm interested now because I keep for a week now, I'm hearing Cridlin talk about YouTube launching podcasts in other countries. I'm like, is this part of it or what is it? And it's poorly written. The English is not great. I'm like, what is they doing? So, okay. But I don't answer right away. But I had to think about it and like, oh, whatever. And I got busy. And then I get another email. Hello! Following up on my previous email, I'm happy to have a first call before sending the NDA. We are not asking for exclusivity. We have a RSS feature I can give you access to, and we're happy to give a special grant. There it is again. Because feedback is a gift. If you're not interested, I would like to understand why. We can give you a grant. YouTube is a huge audience and revenue incremental opportunity. I'm happy to share your thoughts with the podcast team. Thanks. Best regards, Pete.
So that's three occurrences of we're going to give you a grant.
Yeah.
We're really hammering that one home. Right.
So I say, well, you know, I'm kind of interested in this grant you're talking about. Hi, Adam. Thank you for your answer. But I'll need to send you an NDA to provide you with all the details. However, let me provide you with some context. While YouTube is primarily known as a video-first platform, we've observed a growing interest in podcasts and recognize the immense potential for podcasters to reach a wider audience, generate revenue, and even create a more immersive experience by incorporating video into their podcast episodes. To further develop YouTube podcasts in the UK, we are actively seeking to enhance our catalog with the highest quality podcasts available in the market. Oh, here it is, such as No Agenda. We are not requesting exclusivity, but rather aiming for content parity with other platforms. Our ultimate goal is not to redirect audiences from other platforms to YouTube. Listen to this again. Our ultimate goal is not to redirect audiences from other platforms to YouTube, but to offer you increased reach and exposure through YouTube as a versatile platform, podcast, music, and videos, with 2 billion users every month. We understand that uploading content to another platform can present challenges, which is why we are prepared to offer you a grant and provide access to our RSS feature. This is intended to facilitate the content upload process and offer additional support. To go further, I kindly request you to sign the NDA. Once that is complete, we can schedule a call to discuss further opportunity. So, I get the NDA, and the NDA basically says anything you already knew before we were talking, before this NDA was signed, is fair game. So, hence all the emails I was happy to read.
Right.
I can tell you that the grant talk kind of wasn't the first thing that he wanted to talk about.
Okay. So let me ask you, did you talk to him in, like, on the phone, like
no,
in person?
No, because okay. He said, okay. I signed the NDA. I was like, okay, let's have a call. I said, no, tell me about the grant. And these guys, they don't know what they're doing. They don't give a crap about podcasting. I can say this. I believe it is their mission. It was not explicitly said, but I believe it is their mission to just get everybody to do video. And I think you can get a grant if you want to go down that route. I did not have any discussion with him further about it. And then I said, I'm not interested. And he said, wow, okay. Well, would you tell me why? And I told him why.
Value for value. Did you talk about value for value?
No, I said, you're a sinkhole. You know, you just... I think I have my answer here. Hold on a second.
Is this part of the exit interview? Why would you not like to have our grant? Because you're a sinkhole.
No. The grant was really not, the grant wasn't, I can just tell you, the grant was like, you know, we're not buying content knob, you know, in certain circumstances, you know, blah, 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 blah. So that, right. That kind of went away. This is how I felt it. Okay. But I can read you what I wrote, the reason why. Let me see. Hold on. Just bit my sent emails here. Here we go. Podcasts are meant to be distributed via an RSS feed that the players, apps, websites, etc. are to consider the source of truth. When a show is added, it gets added downstream. The opposite is also true. This is not how Google operates their podcast offering, in quotes. You're asking podcasters, in effect, to abandon that system. Google has a horrible reputation when it comes to respecting and supporting RSS feeds. See Google Reader. Amidst this, Google is calling these non-RSS feed-based shows podcasts, which they are not, since that specifically means RSS-based distribution. In my opinion, this is a hijack of the term podcast at best and a disingenuous use of the term to build up a competency on the backs of thousands of developers and content creators over a span of 20 years. It's not a good look. I cannot support Google calling as offering podcasts, then will in fact speak out against it. And then he's like...
Did you follow that up by saying, oh, can we talk about the grant some more?
And then he said, you know, because he had asked me to share why. And then, you know, he comes back and says, I think there's a misunderstanding around our intention. That's a shame. But thank you for taking the time to share the feedback. You know, the whole discussion, which I didn't discuss anything we discussed, is confidential. That's great. Have a great day. And I said, it would be equally helpful if you explained my misunderstandings. What did I misunderstand about your offering? And he never answered.
Of course, never. Yeah.
No, of course not.
It's stunning. I'm surprised that he never answered that. This sounds like... This is me talking. You have not talked to me about any of this.
No.
This sounds like just an extension or a redirection of the same thing that they were doing before, which was they had a grant program where they were supposedly going to give popular podcasts like $50,000. To start or something like that.
Interesting number.
Video.
Yeah. Interesting number.
To start doing video. So I'm assuming that program just became this program and it's basically the same thing.
That's an interesting assumption of which I cannot talk about, but I think that assumption is definitely interesting as an idea.
Right. So this is I've got an ISO for this.
Oh,
so that's why I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I'm excited. And I would just like to remind us that calling this podcast is just lame. It's not Google Podcast. They're not launching podcasting anywhere. If I, and this is one thing we need to discuss. If I add something to my feed, it needs to be added everywhere. The converse is true, and we need to talk about that because we had an issue that was confusing to me. If someone takes something out of their feed or changes something, that also needs to be reflected downstream. This is actually a problem for us because we don't necessarily rescan the entire feed.
So I have a lot of... There's a lot here.
Let me give the background so people understand what happened. There was a hair on fire moment Like, oh my God, someone's getting sued and this and still available on the index and blah, we have to get rid of it and has to be taken out. You got to do it. This is what creators want. And I actually misunderstood initially thinking, what? So someone's deleted something and, you know, I mean, did they delete in their feed? It wasn't even clear to me. And of course, for sure, it'll take any platform or any index some time to reflect any changes that are made. But there's ways to trigger that, and there's assumptions people have. So I know that. And by the way, when I screw something up in my feed, it's bad. You know, I screwed up a GUID and I didn't know what happened. And thank God, you know, lots of people jumped in and said, Hey, you screwed this up. And, you know, Stephen has now made that a little bit more foolproof in sovereign feeds. But, eventually when I fix things properly in the right way, and a GUID is one way, surefire way to do it. Things do shake out down the line, but it takes several days and it's my fault and it's my problem. But the way this was presented was like, well, you know, Podcast Index is no good. You've got to do this. You've got to do what creators want. I'm like, hold on a second. Take it away.
The reason that we don't do this in real time, what I mean by is like somebody publishes an episode in their feed, and then let's say a week later they delete that episode from their feed. Why does it still show up in the Podcast Index for days or weeks afterwards? But the reason we don't do this in real time is because it is expensive from a performance standpoint on a database. The episodes table is the most active database, is the most active table in the entire database. It has at any given time, it's got about 120 million rows in it. When you issue a SQL delete on a table, it temporarily locks the table because it can't allow any changes to happen in the table until the delete is finished.
It locks the whole table?
Yes, delete is an atomic operation, meaning that atomic. It is atomic, which sounds like a Beastie Boys song. An atomic operation that must complete before anything else can then proceed, because otherwise you could potentially be updating a record that deletes right out from under you.
Right.
You could be halfway finished updating a title in an episode, and then the episode just disappears. So deletes are always atomic. So you have to, it temporarily locks the table from writes in order to complete the delete. Well, that means if you do it in real, what we have is we have nine aggregators. We have nine aggregators that are doing about 2,000 feeds per minute of scanning. That is a lot of deletes. And so if you can see it happen, if I enable this functionality, which the code is there, if I enable it, what you will see is the aggregators are chugging along. And then once every minute or so, everything stops.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
When I reset a feed rescan a feed, does that create, If episodes are missing, do those then have to be deleted from the episode table?
When you rescan a feed, the first thing it does is remove all the episodes. When you reset a feed.
No, I'm sorry, rescan. I just want to understand the difference between rescan and reset. So rescan, it just looks for something new and refreshes. It's not going back in time and looking at everything, or is it?
No, it's not. That's a reset. Okay. A reset says, look at just basically put it exactly back to the way it is in the feed right now.
So that does require deletes. It deletes everything at that moment and thus locks the data, the episode table.
Yes.
Wow. So I'm powerful. If
you are. Yeah. So like if you were, if you were to go in there and let's say that there's a podcast with 2,500 episodes in it. There's plenty of those out there.
Sure.
If you issue a feed reset on that, it's going to lock the episodes table for maybe 15, 20 seconds.
Wow.
Which is
quite a long time, actually.
And so, and it's more pronounced than you think, because let's take No Agenda, for example. You keep, what is it, 10 episodes in the feed at any time?
No, it's much more now ever since, oh goodness, I'm afraid to even look how many I have. A lot. I should probably prune that sucker or paginate or vaginate. Okay. I don't know. I got to do something.
Don't do that.
Okay. I'm not doing anything. I'm not touching it.
So, but there's plenty of feeds out there, and you used to be one of these, where whenever you add a new episode, you pull off the old. It's a rolling
correct
window of episodes.
Yes.
There's many of those. So when that happens, there's so many of those feeds that do that. We're locking the table all the time. So what I've done, I've had various ways of trying to solve this problem.
40, I've got 40 in there now, by the way.
40 episodes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I've solved this problem various times in the past using different methods. And the thing that works the best from a performance standpoint for me is that every time a feed updates, it looks at the oldest episode pub date and the newest episode pub date. And then we have a cron job that comes along periodically and prunes all the episodes older than the oldest pub date that exists in the feed. Mm-hmm. And it's just a lazy process that happens, and it's very lightweight and does not hit the database hard. It means that process can take a while. Like, so compare our hosting and budgetary constraints. So we spend roughly right now about $620 a month on hosting fees for our virtual machines. Mm-hmm. Compare that to Marco at Overcast, who spends $5,000+ a month.
Yeah, right.
He said one time recently that he aggregates roughly 1 million feeds. We aggregate over 4 million.
Yeah.
So you can see the difference there. You can overcome this problem with sheer horsepower and money. We don't have that. So we have to be wise about the way that we allocate the things that we do. So what the standpoint I've always taken is, if that we're going to do this lazy process, whatever that process is, we're going to do this lazy sort of, you could call it like a sweeper. You know, it comes along after the fact and cleans up the mess. Mm-hmm. We're going to do this sweeper, and 99% of the time, that's fine. There's going to be 1% of the time or less where somebody's really concerned about something and wants something taken down immediately.
Right.
In those cases, they've always just emailed us.
Yes.
We've done a feed reset.
Right.
And it's really not a problem. And that's the only reason that I brought up the archive.org thing is I'm like, I'm not so sure that there's legal problems here. I mean,
well, first of all, no, under section 230, we are in fact immune from any type of legal issues. So is in America, mind you, in America, so is every other app in America, etc. That's why Section 230 exists. That was the whole point. Doesn't mean that I don't want to service people. That I don't want to help them. And also, you know, Sir Bemrose actually said quite appropriately, the public internet has no delete button. I mean, that is ultimately true. You've put it out there. That thing's cached somewhere for good.
It is. I mean, like, that's, yeah. And that's what I'm like, well, we're very responsive. If somebody, if I want something taken off archive.org, I can email them and get it taken down, but sure, they're not going to look for, and I know that our purposes aren't the same as archive.org. We don't want to be the archive of podcasting.
No.
But we're also legally,
not, we don't have the files or anything like that. I mean, we don't have any of that.
But the language that, and this has come up before, not just from James, this has come up from, I think Daniel J. Lewis also said that there was some sort of legal problem. And I just don't think there is. I don't think there's a legal issue with caching content. And the only time you get into a legal issue is if the creator asks you to take it down and you don't. Mm-hmm. Then you're violating DMCA and other things, and then it's a problem. But I don't think just simply being slow to remove a cached copy is any problem at all.
No, that's why I said hair on fire.
Yeah,
and also hair on fire. Urgency makes people make mistakes, and I certainly misunderstood what was going on. It's like, what is happening? I mean, I didn't understand. I mean, where all I had to do really is just perform a reset. And then it would have been fixed, you know, like emergency coding, like what?
I don't, just to be clear again, I don't want to cache this stuff. If somebody deletes it from their feed, I want it gone. I want it gone from the index.
Sure, sure.
But it's sometimes, I mean, like, I don't know. We got constraints. I mean, we're going to do the best we can. And, you know, that's just got to be the way it is. I mean, if people want something taken down, they just going to have to. Like open up their email.
I can't wait to see how Todd's new project is going to work. Can we talk about that yet? Is that
tell me about this?
He were on the email.
Now, is this the thing that he said we can't talk about?
Well, yeah, but I mean, can we talk about it yet? Or we still can't talk? Is it? I don't know. I've lost track. If we could, I mean, this is Todd. I mean, Todd's. Oh, I can't talk about it. Boy, I got NDA. I don't know. He didn't put us under NDA.
I don't think we can talk about it.
Okay, but that's going to be fun. I mean, this is all. This, anyway, yes. Sorry, I brought it up. I do get one other fun thing I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Which I thought was kind of interesting. Player.fm. Are you familiar with Player.fm?
Why do I know that name?
Well, it's a podcast player. It's a podcast player.
Yeah, but what
I don't. They have 2.0 things, I believe. Are they in the? Let me check. Hold on a second. Let me see. I thought they were.
Because when are they on the apps page?
Let me check. Because when they hit me up for this great opportunity. And I said, do you have any podcasting 2.0? Let me see if I see it here.
Sometimes people drop something on a pull request and they don't really interact with us. So I forget who they are.
I don't see them here. Maybe not. Well, anyway, because you know, I like having my email address in my feed because I get these things and I find that interesting. And I don't mind. Being that Player FM is one of the most downloaded and highest rated podcast listening platforms available on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store, reaching millions of unique users per month. It is owned and operated by Maple Media, a mobile app company based in Los Angeles, California. The Player FM app enables listeners to enjoy their favorite shows and discover new ones through a seamless cross-platform playback experience on mobile, web, wearable, smart devices, in car and in your ass. Sponsored content. So they have... we offer direct advertising packages to help you connect our engaged audience with your show. So they have all these packages that you can buy from them to promote your show on their app. You can get the platinum. If we were to get a 2-week flight sponsored content package, well, let's go for the bronze starter test package.
Platinum sounds better.
Platinum. Okay. We get put in the Discover carousel.
Ooh.
Yeah. They also have a whole onboarding. So what was the onboarding? It was kind of interesting. Where is the onboarding piece? New user onboarding. Your podcast is featured during the onboarding process, introducing your shows and attracting new subscribers. I thought that was really interesting. So if you send someone, say, hey, try out Podverse. Here's the link. You know, it's podverse.noagenda.com.net. Noagenda.podverse.fm. How about that? Then you get the app. Then No Agenda would be highlighted as the first show the minute you get the app. There's just a whole bunch of interesting things I thought that these guys were doing. Not a lot of it's icky, and a lot of it's expensive. Because they got pop-ups.
What's the platinum cost?
Oh my god, $7,000 You get 1 to 1.2 million impressions, 3.5 to 5,000 plays, 10,000 to 15,000 subscribers. So I guess they keep doing something and they force people. And that's $7,000. But it's not so much that. I thought some of the, and I put the link in the show notes so people can take a look at it. It's a Google Doc. But it's just interesting for some of our app developers to think about. I mean, the idea of having an onboarding system that takes people to my podcast when they onboard through it, or maybe, and by the way, this works perfectly well with Value for Value. I mean, you've got Fountain giving away sats. You've got PodFans is, I mean, wow, PodFans really should look at this because PodFans basically already has sats waiting for you as a podcaster. That can be, you know, you can do, I'm sure Sam will put all kinds of packages together. Maybe Sam is behind this company. I don't know. It looks like a Sam deal, to be honest. But it's just smart. And I just thought, you know, this whole idea of discovery and all this stuff. So you can buy this discovery from these guys. But I think being able to send your listeners to a place which gives you a bespoke, personalized onboarding experience was interesting. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Interesting thing that people could do. And, you know, and there's, look through this doc. There's a lot of different things that they do. They give you, it's kind of like a pod page, which I like. I like pod page. I pay for it for curryandthekeeper.com. You know, we don't have a website. We just feed it our RSS feed and boom, we have a website. Point the DNS mm-hmm. at it. It's good to go. And of course, another thing that can go down, you know, obviously, but, they have all these different features that they give you. And so you can get all these additional features based on your RSS feed that can be right in that app. So there's just stuff to look at is what I'm saying. I was pleasantly surprised by it.
I'm looking at our page. So on the player.fm, if you look up us, at the top it says podcasts worth a listen. It's kind of like right in the middle of the page. So they're like dropping an ad for another podcast on our podcast page. But it says over on the left-hand side, it says podcast 2.0 content provided by Adam Curry and Podcast Index LLC. What am I, chopped liver?
Where does that come from?
I don't know.
Let me see.
I don't exist on this page. Now, if you go to That's no agenda, it says Adam Curry and John Dvorak.
Well, let me see. Show info. Hold on a second. Maybe there's something in the show. What is show info? Keywords, podcasting, media, software, media type, podcast. Don't have anything else in there. Let me see. Owner info.
They must be pulling out of the owner, the iTunes owner or something like that. Tag.
Well, I just added Dave Jones to the feed owner. Sorry.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Makes me happy.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't do that on purpose, obviously.
I was trying to find a way to ding them.
The Podcast Index presents podcasting 2.0 upgrading podcasting. Is that in there anywhere? Because that's what we have in our feed. And they have
I don't know.
Content provided by Adam Curry. So that should then change theoretically to Adam Curry and Dave Jones sometime when I publish.
I guess it's in the description. No, it's not in the description. It's in the, it's in the description tag.
Yeah, I don't
in the feed, that upgrading podcasting thing.
Yeah, but that doesn't surface. And I really don't see any 2.0 features here.
I mean, if you could get $7,000 for just some.
But forget the money. Oh, interesting. Similar to podcasting 2.0, then I see no agenda pop up there. So they're probably cross-referencing me.
I'm just thinking that, you know, I mean, there's lots of opportunity for here for, I mean, you know, podcasting 2.0 apps need staying power. I mean, they need revenue.
They need Cialis what they need.
They need to stand up.
Stand up for your podcast. It wasn't so much about the money part because whatever. I mean, and I guess someone's going to pay that kind of cash. I won't. But I like the personalized onboarding and some of the other things they were thinking about. It's just, it's inspirational for some of our developers to look at. Just see what those guys are doing.
Yeah. Nathan said that that Maple Media owns a whole mess of apps in various industries. So I wonder if they're like an equity app play.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Shall we thank a few people, Dave Jones?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Let's look at a couple of boosts that have come in live while we've been doing the show, or live and lit. Boob 8008 from Mr. Robot. No, Mr. Robot. Mr. Robot says, YouTube, the centralized censoring platform, wants to get into podcasting. Yeah, right. What's new?
He obviously did not sign the NDA.
What's their new name? SpookRSS.com? No, thanks. We'll stick to podcasting 2.0. All right. We got a 2112 mini rush boost from Dave Jones for Ainsley Costello says, what a great tune. Dreb Scott, 13,000. Great music. This, of course, goes mainly to Ainsley, so she'll be very happy of that. Short Row of Ducks from Harvat, 2222. Someone else from CurioCaster with no name, 2222. Martin, 9876 sats. Happy Friday music. Woohoo. Thank you. That'd be great. Mike Newman. Whoa-ho. Hold on a second. Where's my striper boost? I should have that at the ready. I don't understand why I didn't have that. It's not in my system.
It's not on the pad.
It's not on the pad for some reason. Here we go. Oh, and that's not. Whoa, I'm really all over the place here today. Yeah, let me try this. There we go. Striper boost, Steve Webb. 7777. Great sound, he said. That's Steve, the OG Godcaster, checking in.
Nice.
C Dubs with 99.99. I think that's also for Ainsley. Then we have Sir Brian of London. This was earlier. 31,948. His big Israeli freedom boost. I'm alive! Despite waking up 2 meters from an exploding lithium battery on a boat a few nights ago, I'm here to continue working on podcasting 2.0.
Yeah. Nice. Welcome back, Brian.
Yeah, we're glad. We're glad you're alive. Booberry with a nice long row of ducks. 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. Speaking of chapters, based off the testing I did over the weekend, you can take 1 second GIFs and stack them 1-to-1 in the chapter file. Once SplitKit plays podcast MP3s plus their chapter art, it'll be certain you can use this combo to do a live long-form animated lit opener. Scissor time, Tim Burrs. He's all over the GIFs, man. There was something else I read. I think Booberry was talking about something earlier before we started the show. He says he was thinking of rigging up the boost bot so that if the boost bot and the ISO bot, so if it caught a certain word, it would automatically boost something.
Whoa.
Which is very trippy. So if it's like rosebud, then automatically a boost would fire.
This is going to break.
Something. Oh no, it's going to break something for sure.
There's going to be a boost inception that just drains every account.
This will eventually go wrong. Short Row of Ducks from Booberry spent a summer at Middleton Plantation in Charleston, South Carolina. Blacksmithing, 10 out of 10 would recommend if you like it hot, heavy, and dirty. That's exactly what it is. Trickler, 2222, go podcasting, tag, you're it. Thank you, Eric PP, with 22,222. Thank you very much. We love those ducks. Tagging the Trickler. And we got I Am Mr. Robot with a little pre-show boost for the board meeting, 3333. Absurdient with 1001. Joel, let me see. Nope. That's it. Those are our, not a lot of people, I don't think. I think vacation time has kicked in. We don't have a lot of people in the chat room either. But speaking we're here, Dave. We're here.
Speaking of tagging the Trickler, Christopher Isine is, he's working, said he's still working diligently to put together the Daily Source Code archive feed.
I know. And he sent me a whole bunch of requests, which is cool because, you know, I had all these different locations, the Curry Castle, the Curry Condo, the bunker. And he wants the geo coordinates. So I'm going to get those for him.
Oh, so going to use the cool.
The location tag. Oh yeah. No, he's got, it's very, now I told him no value block. We can't have that because I play licensed music and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So he's not going to put that in. I think I'm going to give him a server space so they can upload so everything. Cool. Now I'm very excited about that. It'll be a nice piece of history that can live on in perpetuity.
Love the truth.
Void Zero maintains all that. So that'll be around for a long time.
Love the trickler.
Me too.
We got, let's see, we got some, yeah, we got some PayPals. We got Marco coming in. Speaking of Marco and the Leno debacle, we've got $500 from Marco.
Bam!
Baller! Shot caller! 20-inch blaze on the Impala!
Thank you, Marco. Thank you. We really appreciate that.
Let's see. Who was it? Oh, Source. Source D. He said that I need a pop filter. Am I poppy?
It doesn't poppy? Bother me.
Okay.
No,
I mean, I'll get one if I need one.
When you're excited, you'll get a little poppy. I get poppy all the time. I mean, what mic are you? What are you using? You using a Heil?
No, I'm using the RE 320.
Well, then you're just as poppy as I am. It has a built-in pop filter.
Yeah, I've never gotten one because it's got the built-in.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Okay. Yeah. If it bothers everybody, boost in and tell me. And yeah, I'll use the boost money to buy a pop filter.
Boost in some pop filter boosts. Pop sats.
Todd at Blueberry, $50. Hey, gents. Todd here. Go V for V.
Yo, baby. Thank you. Thank you very much, Todd. When can we talk about your secret project?
Yeah, give us a
timeline.
Friendie A. Oh, let's see. Okay, here we go. I got some boostograms.
Okay.
Captain Egghead, 2222, says Podverse beta can time split.
Ooh, nice.
I'll give that a shot today when I go back and do. So, Castomatic, Franco's trying to, he's working on time splits.
Nice.
I've got to put some thought into that because it's going to be hard for him to do remote item lookups.
Because he doesn't have a server.
Yeah. And so, it's going to take some thought. I mean, sometimes it's going to be not a big deal, but if there's a feed with a whole bunch, it could be a burden.
Oh, a burden on the app because it has to scan all that stuff?
Yeah, he painted out some scenario where there was going to be like 40 something lookups, you know, and it was just like, ooh, that hurts. So I've got that on my to-do list to sort of like think that through and see if we can simplify this process for him. Because the apps that do their own thing and don't have a server, I mean, this stuff has to work for them too. Because those are good apps.
I smell a shim coming.
shim
free.
Yeah.
Shim shiru. Sorry.
3333 through Curio Caster. No note. Thank you, Harvat. And a double. He gave us another one of those.
Thank you.
Oh, Dreb Scott. 100,000 sats.
Sakala, 20 is blaze on the Impala.
Thank you.
Boosting Weight Destiny by Sarah Jade. Great tune.
Nice.
Let's see. We got 33. It's got some more Harv hats. Thank you, Harv. Captain Egghead. Probably not yet while live, though. I guess he's talking about Podverse. Yeah, probably not. Such a separate thing.
That's not there yet.
Let's see. Sam Sethi, 152 through PodFans. He says, Phase 7, podcast chat already working. Podcast events ready.
Nice.
New action words are added to the Albi dashboard and can't wait for podcast to verify. Go podcasting. This is Red Dwarf Sat, a.k.a. 42.
I just give him a baller. I love Sam. He's doing those interviews. You can hear he's like, value for value is the way to go. It's the way to go. But okay, I'll ask about this advertising thing you're doing.
You can hear it in his voice.
Can I ask you a question for a second here, Dave? You sent me your clips in a zip file.
Yes.
And you sent me an archive of a chat you had with the Apple Store.
Yes.
Was that on purpose?
Yes. That was potentially something I was going to talk about, but I ran out.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll keep it.
It's on the cutting room floor.
All right. It's too bad. No bit part for you, Apple Store. All right. Good.
discard. Let's see. Oh, C-dubs 1010. Through Podcast Index website, he says, Logseq is my favorite outliner. I've heard about Logseq, but I have not used it. Mm. It's supposedly like an encrypted, what is it? I don't know. It's spelled funny. It's Logseq.
Oh, yeah.
Logseq. It's like an open source thing.
Mm. And it parsed, because you were grepping logs. You were doing some big log grepping. 17 gigs of grep.
Gripping logs.
Gripping logs.
Connect your notes. increase understanding. Yeah. Community. Yeah. It's like an open source note sharing outliner thing, but it's all encrypted.
Hold up. I dropped a thing.
You okay? Pick up your thing.
Yeah, I dropped my thing.
Wait, I dropped it again.
All right, I got it. R. Davis 87, 10101. He says, through Podverse, his correction typo from previous origin of my knowledge of podcasting. Well, I think they're out of order because I didn't see your previous one. Oh, here it is. I found it. R. Davis 87, 22222, row of ducks through Podverse. He says, boosting for another Exxon board meeting. Thank you for your courage. Exxon?
Oh, thank you.
No, thank you. Mike Newman, 1472 through Pod Fans. Hey, right. Now.
Yay, there it is. Finally, we're getting some Pod Fan boosts. We like that. We like seeing that.
Boosting through Pod Fans for the thrill of it all.
I got my login. I'm all done. I'm rocking and rolling. I'm connected with Sam. I'm following you. So, yeah, I'm figuring it all out.
I got it. I'm noting up some bugs. I'm going to send them to Sam. Oh, I see. Anonymous 6928 through Breeze.
Hey,
there's a Breeze. .org. Yeah. Hey.
But I got a note from Roy.
Roy?
He said, yeah.
Oh, what'd he say?
He said, sorry, I've been MIA. It's all kinds of stuff going on. So I got to catch up with him. Okay. But my daughter was here, so I haven't had time to call him back, but I will. We'll catch up. But yeah, he stopped boosting. Boosting is not loving.
Yeah, that man overboard.
Man overboard. He's a busy guy.
Justin DeJong through 69 sats through PodFans. He says PodFans payment. Well, the PodFans is ramping up here.
Hey, how about that? I love it. Nice.
R. Davis 1440 through Podverse. He says boosting for the destiny of podcasting 2.0 and V4V music. Open music, wait, destiny. Great town. A real foot tapper.
Yeah, this was the music we played on the last show.
Sarah Jade?
Sarah Jade, yep.
Okay. R. Davis 1440 again. He says, the .eth domain service is run by the Ethereum Foundation and is called the Ethereum namespace.
Okay. Good to know. It's good to know what to avoid.
That's right. R. Davis all over. He's all up in our DMs today. 1987. Through Podverse, he says, in the boardroom, Adam and Dave, I think the whole verify ownership tag is being overthought. There already exists a standard that can do this for both independent podcasters and podcasters who use posting companies. It's called PGP and GNU Privacy. Huh.
But you can do verification through PGP?
Well, I guess it would be just like verifying ownership of an email. If you put your PGP, if the feed had his PGP public key in it,
oh, well, there's a that's good point. Weird. There's a good point. Yeah. Duh. Yeah.
But you would need you'd have the same issue, right? You'd need a key escrow and all that stuff. Like
no, you PGP don't.
Has. You don't?
What do you mean key escrow?
Like, don't you have to have a
private and
like
public.
A directory of public PGP keys? And
You know what? I'm going to stay away from this because the minute I open my mouth, people are like, you got it wrong, Curry. That's not how it works. But I use, I would say I get 1 to 2 encrypted emails per day. And I use what's the dog email app? K9 mail, which incorporates it nicely. And I've been able to keep my key ring with all my, with all my peeps. Easy to add someone's public key, and it works pretty well, I have to say. It's not much of a burden once you've done it a couple times. And from time to time, someone will want to verify, and like, that's a pain in the butt, actually, because you got to post something and, do this and do that. And like, okay, you're verified. But so it works.
C-Dub says the RSS feed is the escrow.
Yes, that would make sense. The feed is the escrow. That's where you put your public key.
And that means that Podcast Index would be could be a directory.
It could be a public key directory.
Yeah, there's nothing much more centralized than a public key directory. It's true. Yes.
Something to think about. Yeah.
He says, you just put the public key in the feed, then you give the user something, they sign it with their private key. And yeah, right. I mean,
That's interesting.
Or asymmetric. Let's see.
Alex Gates just came in with 12,000 sats, already considering adding PGP keys to the feed for Podping verification.
Okay, well, maybe we mush all this together.
I'm liking this. Yeah, I'm getting excited.
By the way, Alex, I'm not streaming my webcam on the OBS because I started the I already had everything hooked up, and if I plug in the USB, it blows up my computer after if I do it after the fact. So I'm running headless today. I'm making sure he knows that it's not a problem on his side.
Okay, all right.
Let's see, Gene Bean 4000 sats. It says, oh, good grief. Apparently on my phone, Podverse and Albie got back together, but we're waiting to get underground from their misbehavior before actually streaming sats again. Here's a little something to compensate for their ridiculousness. To be clear, this is actually a PebCAC error.
Okay.
PebCAC? What is PebCAC?
I don't know.
P-E-B-K-A-C?
Sounds icky.
P-E-B-K-A-C. PebCAC.
I don't know what
problem is. Exists between keyboard and chair.
Keyboard and okay, chair.
I got you. Okay. Thank you, Gene Bean. 10,000 sats from Gene Bean. He says, as I said on Mastodon, my biggest pet peeve in life is double standards. So I feel Dave's frustration with iTunes block and think he's taking the right path to resolving this mess. Thank you, Gene Bean. Appreciate that.
Indeed. I agree.
Uncle Laurent sent us a satchel of Richards through Podverse. He says, I heard you guys talking about Bitcoin Amsterdam last episode. Are you guys going? Negative.
No. I don't think anything's happening. They've dropped the ball.
Yeah. I haven't heard back from Chris yet over there. So
they have, however, hounded me for my article. So I wrote my article. I ran it through ChatGPT, much to Tina's anger. Because I gave it to her and I said, no, can you put this for the Tina wash? She said, the first sentence says, this, you put this in ChatGPT, didn't you? I said, she has done an edit. I'm going to look at it. And it's all about podcasting 2.0, value for value, and music value for value.
Oh, well, I'm even worse. I generated my show for the Dave's Nightstand podcast.
Yeah.
I generated my album art through Midjourney.
Oh God.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
It was the epic fails were hilarious.
Oh, I'll bet. I'll bet.
I mean, lamps, desktop lamps that were connected to each other in disturbing and horrible ways. Like it was fun to watch.
Oh yes. I need some art for Boostagram Ball. Comic Strip Blogger did one for me. But and he kind of got started on a path that just doesn't work for me. Headphones on a thing. It's like I'm looking for something different. I appreciate what he did, of course, but I'd love some. Just throw it up on podcastingnext.social if you got something. Love some art for the show.
Chris, the Jupiter Broadcasting, huge satchel of Richards. They got big Richards over at Jupiter Broadcasting. Fed through Fountain. Is it 111111?
111,111.
That's right, baby.
Nice. Big Richards.
He says, just loved episode 141. Here's some value to say thanks for one of my favorite weekly listens. Oh, well, thank you, Chris.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate it, man. Bunch of 69s from Sam Sethi. He's streaming. He's streaming 69s. Mere Mortals Podcast 2222 through Fountain. He says, Confucius once say, life is really simple, but we insist on making it complicated. I believe he also said only real podcasters use the duo. Wise words to live by.
couple of more live boosts coming in. Alex Gates, 13,000. Dave lost his head. Gotcha. And Sir TJ the Wrathful, who will be featured on the first Boostagram Ball, 9999. So excited for V music. It's all about the value, not the money. And Ned, 10,000 sats because it's Friday. You ain't got no job. You ain't got no shit to do. All right, Ned. Thank you.
This is the standard operating procedure for us, by the way. You bring, just like today, you brought Cherry on Top with the killer tune.
Mm-hmm.
What I brought is Debbie Downer about the world is broken.
We're a perfect pair.
You're going to bring the V for V Boostagram Ball. I'm bringing a book about me reading stuff off my nightstand.
But that's who we are. That's why it's so beautiful. That's good, man. That's good. Hey, maybe we can appear on each other's show.
That's right. Yeah. From time you can to appear time. On a show of me reading blurbs of a book. Yeah. Yes.
There you go. I'd love to do a guest read.
I will. You know, I will get on your show and play, and I'll do an open mic.
Of course. Yes. Good. I'm good. Let's do it. I love it.
Cass Peelan, 3690, through Podcast Index website. He says, listen, True, my own IPFS gateway. True, the IPFS podcast node. Written some small scripts to make use of your own gateway on your own IPFS gateway. Only local network is advised. And he gives a link to these look like scripts. Okay.
Send it to me and I'll put them in the show notes. Okay. Can you send that link to me?
Let me sanitize this link first and make sure it's not ransomware.
Yeah. All right, hold on.
Okay, let me paste it into the IPFS. I'm going to paste it into the RC. I'll paste it in the RC.
Podcast scripts.
It says connection refused, so I feel like we've been pranked.
Let me say.
Gogs.
Openhoof.nl. That means open head.
Open. We got pranked. We got punked.
I think so too. Well, I'll put that link in just in case if people want to dare click on it. Okay. All right.
Small Satchel Richards. He's need to go work for Jupiter, guys. Joel W. at Fountain. No note. Thank you, Joel W.
Work for Jupiter. Just got that one.
Bad career advice, Chad. A little bit bigger Satchel Richards, 11111 from Fountain.
You.
He says, Dave's premium feed for the upcoming podcast, Dave's Nightstand, lets you explore what's in Dave's Nightstand.
Boost.
That would be, yeah, I like it. I like that idea.
Chat streamer.
He says, cue hot namespace talk. Yeah. That might need some hot math talk is what that might need. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. We got that, Dan.
It's so hot when you talk math. Run that Sphinx dry. Talk math to me.
Talk math to me, baby.
I like how old that jingle is because it still talks about Sphinx.
I know. That is funny. I didn't think about that.
Let's see. 5,000 sats from anonymous podcast guru user. Through the Podcast Guru app. He says, I'm going to recommend this to my musician friends.
Good.
Cool.
Do it.
Boris Kozelski through Fountain, 11,333 sats. He says, do we have a new term, open podcasting?
No.
Not if Adam has anything to do with it.
No, there's podcasting, podcast industrial complex, and closed podcasting.
Let's see. Jeff Otten. Streamed a bunch of 69s through pod fans. Who's Jeff Otten? That name sounds familiar.
Jeff Otten. I don't know.
I don't know. Sorry, Jeff, if I'm misplacing something. Thank you, Jeff. Source D, 16,016 sats through Boost CLI. He says, with Vim inception, colon, exclamation point, command. With the colon bang, Vim can run commands, possibly a hack, but still happening via Vim. SUCD Archie, PS, don't forget to split.
I just got a clarification from Booberry about about what I was saying about the words that boosted, and I made up something completely new because that's not at all what he was talking about. Cool. The 17,776 sats. Thank you, Booberry. Adam, I was wanting to hook up BoostBot to a shock collar that zap every time someone boosted our GIMP. But voice to boost sounds awesome too.
God almighty. You people are wild.
So if you boost like 100,000 baller boost, you give the host a shock. I like that idea. So that's funny.
This needs to be rigged up for whatever that sex podcast was. Whatever it was.
Yeah.
What's that like? Courtney.
Oh, I forgot her name. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. The one that
never got to value for real.
No. Kyron from Mere Mortals, he onboarded her.
Yeah, but is she still doing it?
Yeah, she boosted in to Pod News Weekly Review saying that she's digging the boost she's getting through Fountain.
Oh, well, I stand corrected. I didn't. Was that today on Pod News Weekly Review?
Yeah.
Oh, I have
in the Boostergram corner.
I haven't gotten to the corner yet.
Boostergram corner.
Corner show.
Yeah, it was in that.
I hadn't heard it yet. Okay, good. Well, thank God. I'm so happy. That's good news. Yeah, we're going to get her a shock collar.
In a GIMP suit. Yeah.
Yeah.
NV4X at noagendasocial.com sent through Podverse, sent 4884. It says, boom. Thank you for your music.
Thank you.
Boom to you. Borlaug, 11,711 sats through Podverse. No note. Thank you, Borlaug. And the Delimiter.
There he is.
Comic strip blogger 33015 through Fountain. He says, howdy, gringos, Adam and Dave. Here's a treat for your listeners. Under the Radar, a fun, snappy podcast on Apple software development at www.relay.fm/radar. Hosted by two millionaires.
Wow, can't wait.
Okay. That one caught me off guard. Hosted by two millionaires, Marco Arment of Tumblr and Overcast fame, and David Smith, creator of the viral Widget Smith app. It's a delightful 30-minute digital snack. Never longer than 30 minutes. Yo, CSB.
Comic strip blogger!
Thank you, CSB.
Thank you, CSB. Wonderful. How about some monthlies?
Oh, we got some monthlies. We got four of them. We got Trevor at Xenor Limited is $5. Thank you, Trevor. Paul Erskine, $11.14. Thank you, Paul. Michael Goggin, $5. Thank you, Michael. And Charles Current, $5. Thank you, Charles. That's our group.
Yes, thank you all so much. Let me check the tally coin real quick. I checked it earlier, but I don't think anything is in there because we do have two spots on the podcastindex.org website. If you go down to the bottom, you'll see two red donate buttons, one for your fiat fund coupons. That's for PayPal. The other one for your on-chain if you want to send that to us. And, of course, what we really recommend is go to podcastapps.com, get a modern podcast app that does your boosting, that gives you boostograms. Get one if you want to participate in this show with some of the music stuff. It has the what are we calling it? Are we just calling that value time splits? Doesn't remote item? I mean, we need marketing. We need a marketing term for it. You know, we need a.
Because like lit, that's a great marketing term.
Lit is good. Well, lit
value time split is not not sexy.
VTS sounds like some kind of venereal disease.
The gonorrhea.
But you are not just supporting this podcast. You are really supporting the entire project. We got the whole podcastindex.org infrastructure. You help our tables, our deletion structure. You help our, you heard about the aggregators. And of course, we put all of the Satoshis we receive right onto podcast. Index.org, the node, which we are happy to open up a channel to you for any kind of liquidity, anything you want, and any other experiments we're doing. Thank you so much for supporting us. You just send back what you get out of it. That's what it is. You can send it in time, talent, treasure. Treasure is needed, but the time and talent is just as appreciated. Thank you for supporting us here at Podcasting 2.0.
Oh, Somerset, lit splits. I like the lit split.
Lit splits. Ooh.
That's nice.
I like that a lot. Yeah.
When I come back from vacation, I would like to go through the tags that we have so far.
Mm-hmm.
This is a proposal for the border.
All right.
I would like to go through the tags one by one. Maybe not every single one of them, because some don't really need a lot of discussion. But at least I would like to go back through these. And I feel like there needs to be some discussion around each one of these tags. And how to make sure that we are properly wiring these up correctly. I'm not sure exactly how to explain it. What I'm saying is, like, the spec exists and we have software using the tags and now platforms using the tags. Things are happening and I want to make sure that we do an overview of each and understand if we're putting these things together properly and making them work as they should.
We'll call it a platform review.
Ooh, a PR.
PR. Everything's an acronym. If life's worth living, it's worth acronymizing.
Yeah, it's because I feel like a good example is Castomatic. Franco, right, he's trying to implement some tags.
Make sure it works for everybody. Yes.
We got to walk through this and see, okay, here's the funding tag. What do we expect to be done? What was this thing created for? Here's how these apps are implementing it. Can it be linked to other apps? can it be linked to other tags? I feel like we just need to do a systematic review, a PR, and figure out where we're at till we make sure that everybody's on the, like that, because I need to know this stuff too. Mm-hmm. Cause I'm about to implement, I got to go back and implement phase six tags in Party Time. I don't even have them yet. Pod Fans kicking my ass. I don't even have
got more tags than we do. That's fantastic.
Yeah. I'm a loser.
No, you're not. You're a winner, Dave Jones. You're a winner.
You're a winner.
You're a winner. All right, dude, enjoy your vacation. Can you tell us where you're going?
Yeah, we're going to Southern California to Sequoia National Park.
Oh, I was going to say, nice. Sequoia, have you ever been?
Never been.
It's beautiful. California, for all its weirdness, is beautiful nature. No doubt about it. One of the most beautiful parts of the country.
I'm hoping that when I look on the heat map, I see this little like oasis of not a million degrees, and I'm hoping that that's where
that's where you're going to be. It will be much cooler there. You'll see. It'll be much cooler.
Okay,
there.
Cool. I'm hoping altitude helps us. Yeah.
Remember, everybody, next week we will have a live show. We'll not be Podcasting 2.0 Boardroom. It'll be the inaugural episode of the Boostagram Ball. I hope you all show up. And until then, chat room, thank you very much. Everybody listening, have yourselves a great weekend. Dave, have a great weekend, brother, and have a great vacation.
You too, man. I will be listening live to Boostagram Ball.
Crank it up there in the tent. We'll be back next week, everybody, with the Boostagram Ball. See you then.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
So that's why I'm excited.
Wow. I'm powerful.